Planète claire.
Au cœur de Tricatel.
Rectangle. Rectangle.
Podcast. You're listening to Planète Claire for Radio Rectangle. And I've got the great pleasure to be here with Bertrand Bougala from France, artist, composer, manager of the label Tricatel. He's here in Belgium promoting his new album, which is called Les Choses qu'on ne peut dire à personne. And last night, you were here in Brussels at the Archiduc to perform a showcase.
Yes.
To present your new album.
Yes.
Did it go well?
Rather well, because I'm very shy on stage, and especially when I'm alone on piano.
It was just you alone, yeah?
Yeah. And so I'm relieved it happened. But the Archiduc is perfect for that because it's a fantastic place, very historic jazz club, and they have an old piano which is very nice, and the audience was very sympathetic.
Lots of people there, yeah.
Yeah, for me that's a lot.
Good, good. It is a nice place, and I think they like you there because there's a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, that's true. There's a cutout because the sleeve. We have always a very strong link with Belgium, and the previous album, To Direction, the sleeve had been done by an artist, Jean-Pierre Muller, who is from Brussels, and so he had done some cutouts of my silhouette, and one of them is there, and I don't know what they do with it.
Well, I've got a photograph to show you, actually.
But when I'm itching, you know, my face or my back, I'm wondering if someone is not putting a needle on the.
I had my photograph taken with the cardboard cutout.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. You did not do anything naughty with my.
You didn't see what we did when the cameras weren't there.
No, but I feel it. I feel it sometimes. There's some strange things happening to my body, and that's because at Archiduc they're doing some dodgy things with me.
So the new album is out today in Belgium.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to tell me a little bit about how it came about, the conception of the album, and how you recorded it, maybe?
Yes, with pleasure. The last studio album, really, I did proper studio album, was done 5 years ago. But then, during these 5 years, I've been doing a lot of different projects. I wrote a book about diabetes. We produced some TV shows with Benoît Forgeur for French TV. We did some collective projects with the rest of the Tricatel crew, like RSVP. I did a bit of soundtracks. So, you know, there's no huge for me. When I'm doing a new record, I have to have the feeling that I've been improving, I've been progressing.
Yeah.
Even if I'm old, I have to make progress. You know, and there's no huge of the market. You know, if I go in a shop, no one tells me, you have to release a new album. We have nothing to sell these days. So it has to be a kind of inner need. And so I had this, I was preparing it, and then there's a moment where I think, no, and now I really have to do it, otherwise I'm going to be really sad. I started in November, so it went very smoothly, it was very quick, and now we're in June, and it's out, and it's rather appreciated, and it's very satisfying for me.
So there's 19 songs, so you wrote 19 songs from November up till now?
No, because I wrote them before, I recorded them, but it took me... I'm piling songs, and there's a lot of songs I did not put in the album. But these 19 songs, to me, they were made to go together. You can listen to them, of course, separately, but the track listing, even the mastering is made so that you can listen on one go and have the whole picture.
Okay, so I think we should listen to maybe the title track, which is called Les Choses qu'on ne peut dire à personne.
Yes.
So things that you can't tell anybody.
Yes.
So why this title? Does this mean you've got lots of secrets that you can only express?
No. I have no secrets. not that many. And there's two things, because there's the title of the song, and the same title for the album doesn't mean the same thing.
Okay, right.
Because as a song, it's the lyrics are from a French writer called Laurent Chalumeau, and he tells about how, you know, sometimes we don't dare to say some things and it can pollute our lives. But as an album, it has a different meaning to me, is that I think when you make a record, or when you draw, when you do something like that. To me, the use is to be able to express things that you have difficulties to express in a different way, and these are feelings. But it's not an ode to confession. And I think we have, especially these days with digital, I think it's going to be very difficult for anyone to hide anything.
No, you can't hide anything these days.
So I don't think it's an issue now. I'm not going to tell everyone you have to say everything, and because anyway, we know it.
So we're not going to discover the real hidden Bertrand Bergerlin this album.
You'd be disappointed.
Épouse d'inutiles regrets au fond de nos jardins secrets, et dans leur coin de vieux remords, 20 ans après fleurissent encore. Ainsi nos chemins se jalonnent de choses qu'on ne peut dire à personne, à personne. Clandestines tirent leur sève des pleurs qu'on ravale, des vieux rêves. Tout ce que nous sommes seuls à savoir devient le lierre de nos mémoires et donne à l'air le goût d'automne. Des choses qu'on ne peut dire à personne. L'épreuve où l'on s'est trouvé lâche. Triste courage qu'on cache. On oublie ni ne se pardonne. Les choses qu'on ne peut dire à personne. À quoi servent les vieux regrets que l'on n'exprimera jamais? Pourquoi donc tous ces vains remords reviennent nous accuser encore? Et le cœur peine chargé du poids de ce que l'on doit garder pour soi. Et le cœur peine chargé du poids de ce qu'il ne peut dire même à toi.
So tell me a little bit about the sleeve of the album. It's a painting, yeah?
Yes, it is. It's done by a painter called Guillaume Pinard. He did a lot of different attempts, and he just exhibited them in Paris. He did very different types of portraits of me. And so I'm very, very pleased because he's been really putting a lot of energy in this project. And there's also, inside there's other pictures, there's pictures from a photographer called Rafael Dalla Porta, who has a very interesting process. He does around Paris, that's this project he's doing these days. He goes from transmitting towers and very long focal. He can make pictures of some monuments and buildings, but you have the feeling that they're all close and they're a distance of kilometers and kilometers. So I was very interested by his work. And then there's a portrait of me is done also by a Belgian photographer with a fantastic photographer, Serge Leblanc.
The video clip,
yes.
That's also very interesting. There's a series of photographs,
yes,
with people's heads kind of removed from the photographs with scissors. Yes. So why this unusual concept?
That's Benoît Forgeard directed the video. He's a filmmaker, brilliant one. I recommend his movie Gaz de France. I did the music for it, but it's a fantastic movie, a political movie, kind of science fiction Buñuel in and very close to the political situation in France, and very funny. And Benoît had this idea that he ran the track, he ran it at triple speed, and I had to lip sync on it at the triple of the speed, which is absolutely impossible.
How did you train for that?
For nous, j'ai un secret dans le coin de remords. Enfin, toi, bref, ainsi je m'en souviens. De choses qu'on peut dire à personne, à personne. So when he did that, first the music in the back, when it goes triple, suddenly it sounds like some really ugly, the worst of French variété jazz manouche, like that. And I could even sell it at some of these singers. They would not. It's very different. But so we shot it in early mornings, so very quickly with the playback in my pocket. So when it puts it back at normal speed, it seems a bit appesanteur because it's floating, because the effect of running back at normal speed is very interesting.
Wow, that's amazing. So you had to train for that then, did you, with the...
Yeah, but as you see, I was really... I still cannot do it. Even at normal speed.
Yeah, it's not easy. Il pose
inutile regret au fond de nous. But il pose inutile regret au fond de nous. J'ai un secret. I know some rappers can do it, but...
I'd like to maybe listen to another track now. So there's a track on the album that's called Tombeau pour David Bowie.
Yes.
It's a beautiful track, an instrumental track. So it's your kind of dedication, tribute to David Bowie, yes?
Yeah, you know, in France especially, we're very good at commemorations, dedications, tributes, and so I did not want to add to that trend. But I wanted to do something real, concrete. And,
yeah, something concrete.
And to make a song, to make a track. I think that's better than just to, you know, to put some videos on Facebook.
And David Bowie, is he somebody that's influenced your
Yeah,
music?
I think where he influenced me the most is that he encouraged me, because when you make music, you want to be understood. And I think he's one of those artists who pushed at the maximum the artistic ambition and who achieved to be understood. So when you want to do that and you don't succeed, like me, I think that's a very good direction to try to follow. Because I have the feeling that he has always tried to go. That's what I was always quoting Raymond Loewy, you know, the designer, who was always talking about what he called Maya, most advanced yet acceptable. And I think that's what Bowie succeeded to do, and that's what I've never succeeded to do. So I wanted to...
Well, that's your opinion, but that's quite a humble opinion, I guess. maybe we could listen to a Bowie track. Have you got a Bowie track that you'd like to listen to on the show?
Well, I think a Bowie track, what is interesting is when he's always putting some strange chords. I think the last ones, Black Star was fantastic. But otherwise, I don't know. There's one track I haven't listened for years. But to me, in the 80s, it was amazing because it was a hit. But the construction was perfect. It's absolute beginners.
Yeah? Oh, well, let's listen to that, yeah.
there's nothing much to take. I'm an absolute beginner. But I'm absolutely sane. As long as we're together, the rest can go to hell. I absolutely love you. But we're absolute beginners.
Sound.
Planète Claire.
Other influences on your music? I know you take a lot from both music and literature. Have you got any other influences that you'd like to talk about?
In such a record, for instance, for Bowie, yeah. The real musical influence on that track is not the... It sounds like... it could sound like the B-side of Flow, of course, because he did this very erratic instrumentals on the B-side of Flow with Brian Eno. But I was thinking more of one track from Olivier Messiaen. It doesn't sound like Messiaen, but called Le Banquet Céleste. And that's a long piece for organ, and that's a progression of chords. But I was not aware of that when I did it. But when I think about it now, I think that the biggest influence on that track is Le Banquet Céleste. It doesn't sound at all like Le Banquet Céleste, but in this way of trying to do that kind of, floating spatial music.
Spatial music,
yes, yeah. I think this track of Messiaen is fantastic because it sounds like some... You know, the best tracks of Tangerine Dream or Klaus Schulze, but done quite early.
Le monde merveilleux de Radio Rectangle.
Okay, so I'd like to talk to you a bit about Tricatel. I used to work in a record shop and I discovered Tricatel working there in 95, 96. Okay. It wasn't very well known in England, but...
Well, it still isn't very well known.
So I bought a compilation called Au Cœur de Tricatel.
Yes.
Was that the first compilation?
That was the first one in Europe, because we had done two in Japan, Gros Soleil de Tricatel, and I forgot the other one. But we did two Tricatel compilations, and in a way they were compiled for when we started in Europe with Au Cœur de Tricatel, yes.
I think one of my favorite tracks is Hotel Dionysos de Louis Philippe. So we'll give that a listen. And also, maybe I'd like to listen to Aussi Clad Electronique, which is the first track I ever heard from Bertrand Bergola.
Thank you.
C'est magnifique.
Do you still collaborate with some of the same people from that period?
Well, recently we did again for a project something with Count Indigo, still in touch with April March. Yeah, quite with a lot of them. After, there's some people I haven't heard for a while from X-Tone, for instance, and they are, to me, they were such a fantastic band and I really miss them. But that was a very tough period for us, very anarchic, because trying to do a lot of things and without always the power to do them. So that was pretty shady. Shoddy.
Your English shady. Is good if you know because words like
that. Because someone, I remember someone told me that we were shoddy. That's what I remember.
It didn't appear like that to the English audience. I think we thought it was kind of classy. So yeah, back to Tricatel. So it was challenging at that time. Has there been more challenges over the years?
Yeah, because at that time we were very remote. I was influenced by some labels that most of them had been failures. Not artistically, but they had been commercial failures. In England, L Records from Mike Holway, the Compact Organization from Todd Tyler. They were fantastic labels for me. They were a great inspiration, but they might have been also an inspiration in the way they were misunderstood. But they were very small stables with always the same team of songwriters and different artists. At the end, what Tricatel became is very different because we had an in-house crew and we still have with some musicians like Yes Dragon, but we never created artists in an industrial way because we've been very respectful. Every time we sign artists, we give them a complete freedom, but we never did that kind of bubblegum projects where we're going to make an identity and launch an artist. And we did not do it also because I don't think we have the commercial strength to break them afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And but I would have loved that we are kind of a hit factory, kind of you know, eccentric Stock Aitken and Waterman. But we've never been.
Certainly eccentric. And now on Tricatel, what kind of artists are on the label now?
Well, that's what is very satisfying to me, is that I think I love every period of Tricatel, but I think we are in a kind of artistic peak. It's hard to say, it's pretentious, but I think the label has been progressing, and it's been more and more understood. So we, you know, I tell you, outside France, we're still extremely confidential, and even in France. But I feel that we're much better understood, and we focus on very, very few. We cannot launch too many projects. We don't have that capacity, and we have very few artists, but they're all, I think, very original, and what they do is not what the other artist is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have Christophe Chassol, and Chassol, that's been a big victory to us because he's one of the most original musicians today, and what he's doing, which is a link with the reality. He could record just this conversation, for instance. He could record just this conversation, and he could make music with that because he would harmonize it. And he does a bit the contrary of what today's music is based with. Sometimes today's music is 2 chords or 3 chords repeating all the time in a song, and then the melody is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And very often Christophe is going to take the same melody, and it can be a bird whistling, it can be a conversation, it can be a noise in the street, and it's not going to change, but it's going to change the harmonies.
Yeah.
And by that you have the feeling that the song is changing. So it's kind of beautiful, but it could be, when I say that, it seems complicated, and it is the way he does it, the way you see it on stage or you're listening to on record. There's a fluidity which is amazing, and the fact that Chassol today is understood in the whole world, that he's been working with Frank Ocean, that Solange Knowles adores him, Laurie Anderson, to us that makes our mission was useful.
Yeah.
And so that's very, and so we have another project called Catastrophe, which is 25 years old people, very talented, and it's a blend of literature. They're launching a book in September and then the record. So they are very special projects.
We could maybe listen to something by Christophe Chassol. Is there something you'd like to hear yourself?
Yeah, I would suggest there's a remix from someone very interesting we work with called Pieuvre, and the record, the track is called La Route de la Trace, and that's a Pieuvre remix.
So back to your album, have you got plans to tour with the album and do some live shows?
I'd love to. The only problem is that I need some places to welcome me. Like,
we're going to have to do something about that, definitely.
We played with Gonzai at Gonzai Night in Paris last Friday.
Okay.
And that was... great pleasure. We hadn't played for ages and we had not played the new album. And we were nine on stage because there was the Dragons for the rhythmic section. There's a fantastic singer, Alice Lewis, who just released an EP and she was on keyboards and singing. And then we had three choirs from Catastrophe, from that band. And then Chassol came to play. So we were nine in total. And that was... a joy to play, but yes, in France and abroad, it's worse. But I don't know, people see me as, I don't know, kind of Proustian, boring geezer. And, you know, I can't oblige people. You know, I don't want to push people to make me tour and then to arrive in a half-empty venue. And so, you know, but for the time being, we don't earn money when we tour. And anyway, no one asks us to tour. But if someone wants, yes, that would be a pleasure.
And is the live show that you did, is it quite true to the album?
No.
No.
Never. No, because I think I really see every time we do a live version, I'm not trying to reproduce the arrangements of the album, because I think that's the interest of the studio, is that you can allow yourself things that you cannot do on stage. So in studios, there's some strings, but on stage, there's something that we don't have in studio. There's an energy that studio can never have. And I like the studio recording of such an album. I would not change one thing. But on concert, I think it will be different on some, but there will be a intensity that is different to the studio. I don't want to be presumptuous, but yeah, on stage it's more like it's almost a soul gig, you know?
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I hope we get to see you in Belgium.
Yeah, I'd love to.
I really hope so. Have you got a favourite place that you like to play?
Well,
favorite venue
in Brussels. I don't know. Every time we did things with Paul Henry and Botanique, we played L'Orangerie or La Rotonde. That was very nice memories to us. But you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible for him to make us tour. But we like to play. We like to play. What I like is to play with the audience, not too far. So that's why when we played with Gonzai in Maroquinerie, that's in Paris, that's the ideal venue for me, because I like when it's crammed and when people are almost on stage with us. But if I'm too high and I don't see the audience, I'm afraid to bore them. So
you like the rapport with the audience?
Yeah. I even like to see the audience.
Yeah.
To me, if I could, we would leave the lights on.
Well, I want to really thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
And especially speaking in English.
It's not too bad, because my wife is has been raised in England, and she always thinks I should never talk in English to our daughter, so that she doesn't catch a bad French accent.
There's only your wife that can say that. Okay. The British audience thinks it's very charming, and
okay.
I personally like it when you sing in English.
All right.
You once did a cover of Tears of a Clown.
Okay.
So, yeah. With Ice Dragon. So I'd like to listen to that to close the show.
Okay. I think that's one of the only record I saw a paper in a British magazine on it. I don't know if it was a Mojo or something, and they loved the live album with the Dragons, except that cover. It was ridiculous. So I'm glad to listen back to it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Bertrand.
Oh, and thanks a lot.
Good luck with the album.
Cheers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let my show convince you.
deep, my surface heat. Smiling in the crowd, I try. But in a lonely room, I cry the tears of a clown. When there's no one around. There's a smile on my face. It's only there trying to fool the public. But when it comes down to fooling you, now honey, that's quite a different subject. Don't let my glad expression give you the wrong impression. Cause really I'm sad. I'm sad as a sad. Gone and I'm hurting so bad. Like a clown, I pretend to be glad. Ooh, cause there's some sad things down to man. But then too much sadder than the tears of a clown. When there's no one around. Ooh, baby. Now if there's a smile on my face, don't let my glad expression wrong impression. Don't let this smile away. Make you see that I don't care. Cause really I'm sad. I'm sadder than sad. Cause really I'm sad. I'm sadder than sad. Cause really I'm sad. Sadder than sad. So bad. Did a clown. Did a clown. Did a clown. Said it in time. Hurting so bad. We'll be right back.
C'est vrai qu'en France,